listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined by Mark Krikorian, an outsized contributor to the national debate and, I think, to the security of the American people through the extraordinarily important work he does at his organization, the Center for Immigration Studies. He is its executive director. He has been extraordinarily effective, in my view, on, in particular, the host of issues that arise as a result of illegal immigration into the United States, the lack of enforcement of our immigration laws. It's always a pleasure to catch up with him, and we're doing so on vacation, no less. Mark Krikorian, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to join us.
Glad to be here.
Let me ask you, Mark, first of all, we were talking a moment ago with Congressman Jody Heiss about the sanctuary cities. I was listening this morning to National Public Radio lauding the mayor of Denver, Colorado, for essentially hiding illegal aliens from the immigration authorities. This is part of, I guess, the larger sanctuary cities operation that he runs out there. He declined to call it that, actually, interestingly enough. But what are we to make of what is being done by these local officials to frustrate and, in fact, obstruct the enforcement of immigration laws inside the United States?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing this kind of thing all over the country. There was a story a few months ago about a local judge who helped illegal immigrants go out the back door of the courthouse because ICE was, you know, waiting for him to take them into custody. I mean, it really is outrageous. And what I think this is the result of is that much of the left has now come to see illegal immigrants as a kind of protected class, like, you know, a racial minority or something like that, and that therefore, you know, they are justified in essentially in breaking the law to protect them. I mean, it really is a remarkable development on the left that they have become so extreme, really just in the past decade on this issue. Because when you see, for instance, the videos, remember, of Bill Clinton, one of his State of the Union addresses, he was basically giving a Donald Trump speech on immigration. I mean, it's a sign of how radicalized the Democrats have become on immigration. And it's bad for the country, but I think it's also bad for the Democratic Party, because even though people will disagree about certain aspects of immigration, the radicalism of the left now, mainstream left, on immigration is really out of touch with much of the public.
Mark, you followed these issues very closely for years. I've been encouraged to believe that there seems to be a correlation between the change that you've just described in the Democratic Party and the change that preceded it on the part of organized labor, which had long held that these individuals were, you know, a menace and were supposed to be kept out, and then flipped when essentially the left, the hard left, took over the trade union movement, and suddenly the Democratic Party, which is largely in their thrall, flipped as well. Is that fair, do you think?
Oh, no, I think it's definitely a part of it. I mean, the organized labor, which, and look, I'm a conservative and I have my own issues with the conduct of organized labor, but on the immigration issue, they were always at the forefront of defending American sovereignty. Even back in the 1986 bill that people remember, the big amnesty that Reagan signed, it was the AFL-CIO that was fighting it and fighting for tougher immigration controls. They were the lead on that issue. And basically, I think what happened is that the top layers, the top elements of organized labor, not the regular union members in the field, but the management, looked at their numbers and they said, look, Americans have given up on us, so we're giving up on America. We're just importing somebody else to belong to our union because Americans don't want to do it anymore. And that really did, I think, help move. It was both caused by the left radicalism or radicalization on immigration, but it helped promote that radicalization even further.
Mark, let me ask you to speak about one other piece of what's happening in this regard. the idea that illegal aliens have been encouraged to apply to become members of the United States military in the expectation that they might become citizens of the United States by so doing. This is a program called Military Accessions Vital to the National Interest, or MAVNI. That wasn't the original intent of it, but it seems to have given rise to real concerns about who's coming in through that program, to the point where the Pentagon has decided to put it on ice for the time being. What's the state of play on that, as you understand it?
Yes, MAVNI was a limited program that had, you know, that would have good justification. What it was supposed to be for is to enable legal foreigners who were not immigrants. In other words, people who are on foreign student visas or exchange programs, some kind of lawful program that was not a green card, because people with green cards can enlist under certain circumstances, but only if those legal foreigners had particular skills that were really useful. In other words, they spoke an unusual language, Pashto or something like that, or they had some other unique skill. What the pro-illegal immigration people have been trying to turn it into is a way to get people with this illegal immigrants who have this temporary DACA amnesty that Obama illegally enacted on his own, to get them into the military. In other words, it's a kind of camel's nose under the tent strategy. And there's really no excuse for it. I mean, if they turn what could have been and was a very limited, potentially useful program into kind of the little wedge of a crowbar for amnesty, if they can.
Speaking of DACA, there's an effort underway, as you know very well, Mark, to try to terminate this, something that President Trump said on the campaign trail he would do right out of the gate, as I recall. Where are we on that?
Well, first of all, this is now July, and the president said he was going to end DACA on day one. So where we are is the program is continuing on autopilot. They're not only renewing people for this two-year amnesty that Obama just made up out of whole cloth, but they're actually signing up new people. They're expanding the program. It's outrageous. And so there are indications now that they may end up, they may be willing to end it, but they're worried about the PR aspects of taking away work permits from what are, frankly, sympathetic young people, who most of whom really haven't grown up here. The Secretary of Homeland Security was pressed on the issue, and he said, if there's a lawsuit challenging the legality of the program, because there is one in the works, but the litigation hasn't really started, he said, if there is, a lawsuit, he said he, probably would not be able to defend the program in court, suggesting that the administration may want the courts to kind of do the job for them, so that if the federal courts say, look, this program isn't legal, then the administration will be able to say, look, our hands are tied. The courts have spoken, and we have to end this program. So maybe that's their strategy. I hope so, because it really is an outrageous abuse of executive power left over from the Obama administration.
Mark Krikorian, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you so much for taking some time from your vacation. Well-deserved. Your work, as I say, at the Center for Immigration Studies is really, really appreciated by all of us here at Secure Freedom Radio. I look forward to continuing our conversation about it when you get home. In the meantime, stay well, my friend. Next up, Adam Credo of the Washington Free Beacon joins us. We'll talk about, among other things, about the Iranians building missiles in Syria, what that might mean for the region, perhaps for us. Straight ahead. Thank you.